It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, Cooles. Welcome to Barca Talk. I'm your host, Gabriel Quiroga, here back in the Spanish capital. As many of you know, I went to Barcelona this past weekend to go watch the Champions League final at a bar there with some fans, along with Mariana Guzman, who joins me every Friday. And also I went to the Villarreal match last night. And those are going to be the two things that I'm going to talk to you about today. The first item we need to get into is the Champions League final. I was so upset about this loss. This felt as though it was the hardest stomach punch we could ever get as a Culé for this year. You know, for all the bad the men were this year with their performances and lack of trophies, the Femini were filling that void. And Saturday night was a very tough pill to swallow. Before the lead up to this match, Lyon were seen as arrogant. And I really didn't see it that way. I just think they were pushing back. They have won 7 Champions Leagues in the last 11 years. So they have a right to be arrogant. And one of the main reasons they thought that, you know, they had an excellent shot in this victory was that when they last played Barcelona, they were not fully healthy. And they've had an up and down season last season with major injuries to their star players. And this season they were back and they were ready to take the fight to the Femini. Now on Friday, I was talking to Mariana and I was nervous about the match because when you get to these one match offs, it's about styles, right? We always talk about styles, and it's our passing quick movement style against the height and physicality of Lyon. And unfortunately, this match reminded me a lot of the latest encounters we've had with Bayern Munich on the men's side, where Lyon were just physical. And it was clear from the first 15 minutes that the referee, one of the worst refereeing I've seen in a final, was going to allow every foul possible. Especially on that first goal. That first goal was a foul. Was a clear foul. There's no way that should have been allowed to continue on. And you have to give the Lyon player credit for fighting through that and hitting a golazo. I mean, that was a golazo that she hit. And from that point on, I was nervous because I knew that we were in deep, deep trouble. One of the issues I saw from the beginning of the match was that our passing was off. And I don't know if we were nervous or just not used to the speed that Lyon were going to bring. Many times, especially in the first 25 minutes, we had heavy touches. The ball escaped from us many times. And also, anytime a midfielder got the ball and they would turn, Lyon would intercept the play or make a tackle. It's the good and the bad of this season in Femini. They have been completely dominant this season. So there's no reason why they shouldn't come into this match supremely confident. But at the same time, I think within the first 10 minutes, they should have realized that this was going to be a fight. And I didn't quite see the fight back at the early stages. Obviously, from, I would say, minute 45, 40 on, the Femini definitely did fight back. But again, Lyon's Wendy Renard is, as I said before a couple of seasons ago, she's one of the best female football players I've ever seen. her class on defense, the way she's able to run angles, no one had a chance against her on those 1v1s, over the top, through the middle. She read everything. And to me, that is one of the main stalwarts of Lyon. Their defense, their back line. And Wendy Renard now is a champion again. She is an incredible player, a stepping stone for this rivalry to continue. Now, I know that we were able to get a goal back, and there was a momentum shift there in the match where Femini looked like they're going to get another one back. But as you know, we have the same problems that we have as the men's side when we're down a goal. And it's this philosophy of, at what point do you ditch the style and just create chaos? Because sometimes chaos is good, especially when you're clawing and scratching for the last 20 minutes of a Champions League final. Sometimes it's better just to throw those crosses in there and have 7 crosses as opposed to 2 quality crosses. Because again, it doesn't have to be the prettiest goal. Another error, I think, is that I think Oshuala should have came on sooner. She was not intimidated by Renard, where I think Hermoso was. And I think we were lacking some of that fight, and I think Oshuala would have brought that if she would have started or came in sooner. Because as soon as she came in, she was definitely making a difference. But again, I think it was a combination of a couple things, and at this highest level, the margin of error is really, really fine, you know, really small. And unfortunately, Lyon were able to capitalize on those 3 chances and able to get 3 quality goals. And so you have to give your hats off to Lyon. So now Lyon have defeated the Femini in 2 finals by a combined score of 7-2. One of the upgrades I would look for the Femini is at goalkeeping. If I had to just pick one spot, I think we need maybe a goalkeeper that is a bit more athletic, maybe a bit taller, to help solidify that line. But other than that, you can't argue with the success that the women had this year with La Liga. They're still going to play in the Copa del Reina. I mean, these are the things that are happening. Unfortunately, the Triplete is no longer. And it's unfortunate because they had such a great season in the Champions League run with the 2 sellout matches at the Camp Nou. But this is the pain of playing sports, you know, just the one-offs. You know, you never know what's going to happen. It was one of the best female teams I've ever seen in my life, both of them. They were really, really good. High talent. Really good ability all around. It was an entertaining match. Stressful. And unfortunately, the Femini fell short. So I'm hoping that they'll be able to learn from this experience, especially like how they learned from the first time. But if they want to compete at Lyon's level in these Champions Leagues, we have to be aware of the physicality that they're going to bring to the table, and how do you combat that? You know, in our glory years under Pep, our midfield was so dynamic that we were able to outclass physicalness with Busquets, Xavi, and Iniesta. And so we need to figure that out with the women, or figure out something when the chips are down and just throw chaos in there. Anyway, I walked home that night and I was disgusted because I wanted that trophy very badly. Especially after the roller coaster of the season with the men, the women were the last ray of hope in my football teams. And unfortunately, they were not able to pull it off. But again, they have won La Liga. They're still going to have a chance for the Copa del Reina. And it's still a very successful campaign for the Femini. I hope that this rivalry continues with Lyon, because I think ultimately it's going to really elevate the women's game in a way that is going to make it successful for all the leagues in Europe to really push for the women's game. And as you see with Barcelona bringing so many fans to Turin, you can see that people were very excited. I mean, in Barcelona, they were showing the match in Plaza Catalunya on the open air, free screens there. So people are on board. People are very excited about this team, and Barcelona needs to ride this wave going into next season. So ladies, great job this season. Unfortunately, just came up short in the Champions League. Now, let's talk about the Villarreal match that I went to last night. Where do I start with this? With Friday, as we were talking, Mariana, they changed the game time to 10 o'clock. I cannot stress this enough. Why?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
TVs don't want to be showing Barcelona at 10 o'clock at night. There's just no fan base for this. As I mentioned on Friday's episode, my original plan was to go to the match at 6:30 and then go meet up with some friends at the beach afterwards. And I was really looking forward to that because that was going to be a 2-for-1 plan for me, essentially. And when they moved the game to 10 o'clock, that totally just threw off my whole Sunday. And again, we knew this match was a lose-lose proposition just because Barca players are looking towards the offseason already. It was going to be a low-attended match, which it was. But again, with this 10 o'clock start time, it was absolutely brutal. Let me give you some quick story time on this. So before the match, one of our patrons, Kim, messaged me and said we should sit together. I said yes. So we were going to sit together, get to the match of Villarreal. And so I was heading on up to the stadium to meet up with Kim to have a beer before the match. And lo and behold, Kim is a, as we like to say, a people connector. And Kim had a friend of his visiting from Bosnia, so we needed an extra ticket. And Kim befriended this old man who has been a soci for more than 65 years. And this man told us that, yes, he has an extra ticket because he has the soci card. And we can get in no problem. So we were very delighted. So what was going to happen was Kim and his friend were going to sit together and I was going to sit with this old man. Santos, it was his name, because Santos didn't speak a lick of English. And I thought it would be a better viewing experience for the old man so that I can speak Spanish with him and just commentate about the match. And also I wanted to get his point of view since he had been a soci for so long. And also he had tried out for the Barcelona team way back when he was a teenager. So I thought this was going to be a fun opportunity to get to know someone and talk about the match, especially I knew the match was going to be dull and boring, and so I thought it was going to be entertaining. Well, sometimes it happens that you have a miscommunication of languages and so forth, and we had a major miscommunication because I didn't know that he wanted me to give him cash for the ticket until we sat down in the seat. And apparently he had told Kim, and you know, we were so excited to go to the match, we just kind of went in. And for all of you that don't know, in the Camp Nou, there is no cash machine. There is no cash machine whatsoever. And so we were in a bind, and all of a sudden Santos, who was this lovable, cute abuelo, became very angry at me and was about to call security to get me removed. So in a panic, you know, obviously I didn't want that to happen. I just tried to keep calm and try to tell him, look, I will get you the cash. You know, I tried to say, do you want to do a bizum, which we have here in Spain, which is like the transfer of money. Of course, he didn't have a bizum, but I just wanted to, you know, give it a shot. And Santos was not happy with me whatsoever. He was making so much commotion about this. And I was like, Santos, like, I was telling him, you know, I have this podcast. I gave him my business card. I was showing him the website. I was showing him like different things. And so I was thinking that, you know, he could quote unquote kind of trust me, but no, he was not having it. So Kim being the savior, I had to call him. I said, Kim, do you have cash on you? He's like, yeah. And so we had a meet outside the stadium. So we had to go back out the stadium with the old man, with Santos. We gave him the cash. We come back in, and at this point I was kind of already over it. Like, I just didn't want to go sit down with this guy anymore because he was so upset and he just made such a huge fuss about really nothing. I think he just completely thought we were going to, like, burn him in some way. And I know he has no way of knowing that we're not going to burn him, so I get that. But at the same time, it kind of put a bad taste in my mouth to go sit back down with him. And I really didn't talk to him after that. I mean, I was sitting next to him and he would try to ask me, well, not ask me, he would tell me things that were going on, and I just was like not into it, you know, as we all are when we watch the match. We're all experts, right? And so he was telling me about, you know, what he thinks we should do on corner kicks, and eventually I kind of opened up again and started talking to him. But man, that was such a weird situation with Santos. I mean, he completely lost his lid, you know, for 60 euros essentially. And again, this just goes down to the modern facilities at the Camp Nou where there's no cash machine. Like, what are we doing here? Could have been solved in 2 seconds. So Kim, thank you for saving my ass on that. Now, let's get to the match. So I sit back down with Santos, really good seats, and you know I'm a body language doctor. I could just tell from the first minutes. I was like, man, this is going to be one of the worst matches I've ever seen in my life. And I'm very upset about this because not only with the time change, but again, I don't go to the Camp Nou enough to just waste my time to go watch a match like this. It's still a special thing for me to go to the Camp Nou and to watch Barcelona. It doesn't matter what team it is. And I was pretty upset because the effort that was being done and the way we were playing was just so nonchalant. It just drove me, crazy. And I have to say, like, when we were talking after the match, Kim and his friend and myself and some other people, I can't remember a worse professional sporting event that I've been to in my life. Like, everything from the crowd, the play, people just wanting to go home because it was so late, everything combined for one of these matches where I just kept looking at the clock and I was like, oh my God, it just moved 1 minute. And I don't know how you felt watching it on TV, but I think many of you may have been doing laundry in the background, you know, as we always talk about, doing chores and having the match, which is a nice thing to have. But man, I was so upset. And I said, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hyper-focus on a couple players to see how they really move. Because, you know, when you're watching it live, you're able to see the you're able to see it up front and see the player's actual movement as opposed to just on the TV where you just get the narrow angle. So the first person I wanted to really focus on was Ferran Torres. I'm really nervous about Ferran Torres. Nothing last night showed me that he is a hungry striker. And as I was talking to Santos about this, and we were talking about the shots on goal that we had at one point where it was 8 shots to Barcelona, 1 shot, 1 goal for Villarreal, is what is Ferran Torres doing? I don't see...
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Him attacking those lanes up the middle. And again, at what point is the side-to-side passing hurting us when we don't have the talent to move it quickly and to find those passing lanes like we used to before? You know, one of the things that we had when we had Xavi and Iniesta, obviously, was the tempo. The tempo was quick and they moved a lot. Every player I saw, for minus Araujo essentially, which I'm going to go into in a second, was walking and it was so effing slow. I remember one of the first times I was at the Camp Nou and I was watching the match, and one of the things that impressed me seeing it live was the speed at what Barca were playing. This is like 8 years ago, my first match, 9 years ago. And I just remember saying to myself, man, that's why they're professional footballers. Look at that speed. Look at the control they have. And last night, did not have that feeling whatsoever. Aubameyang, slow, not making runs. I mean, I know it's the last game of the season, but come on, man. Don't we want to get goals? Like, I when we were talking at the bar after the match, I said, if we got a team together right now, a 5-5, aren't all of us going to be hunting for goals to try to score goals and, like, do anything we can to just get a goal? And we're like, yeah. I don't understand why this team doesn't get hungry for goals. It just doesn't seem like there's an alpha dog, really. I mean, take Ansu out, right? That really wants to be 20-goal scorer. And I'm really nervous about that this coming season, especially if we're not able to bring higher-end attacking players. Because we're going to be having these players for next season. And we don't know what kind of effort we're going to get. And I understand that everyone's optimistic still with Xavi being the coach and having an offseason. But I'm telling you, these last quarter of the season after the Clásico really has me concerned for the upcoming season. I told you a little bit about Araujo, and it was confirmed last night. Araujo needs to be the captain next season. It does not matter about the hierarchy or any of this BS that goes on. Araujo last night was the only player that I saw that was pushing up the tempo, had the energy for tackles, and was trying to motivate the team. And it was clear as day when you're watching it on the field. He's the one communicating. He's the one talking. Therefore, Araujo needs to be the first captain next season. I think that is mandatory, because if these Busquets and Alba and Pique are still captains next season as the first captains, we have a big, big problem. Araujo leads by example, and the younger players gravitate towards that. Therefore, it's super imperative that he becomes a captain next season. And again, as I have here in my notes from last night, I just says, Araujo confirmed, he's really, really, really good. You know my feelings about Araujo from the beginning of the season. I've been such a proponent of him. I love the way he plays. I love the passion he has. He's such a good defender. He's the future of Barca. But seeing him in person just supremely confirmed that. And I'm really excited about his career trajectory at Barcelona for the next 5 seasons, for sure. Let's talk about Villarreal really quick. I think the Villarreal first goal was the microcosm of Barcelona's season in must wins this season. Villarreal gets loose on a counter. We have no idea what's going on. We don't understand the flanks. They get one shot and they score on that one shot. Now, again, I'm not saying this is all on Alba. I'm not saying anything like this. I'm just saying the discipline of the defense on counterattacks is still lacking, and it drives me crazy. This idea of running back without having any concept of discipline and understanding, like, how to move your attacker and veer him so that he can't cut inside, for example. We just never do that. And Villarreal had nothing to play for last night. I mean, they were just as ready to go on vacation. And they were able to get 2 goals basically off 4 shots. It's incredible. Anyway, I'm still at a loss of what I saw at the match last night. I know it's the last game of the season, and I know a lot of people are saying they had nothing to play for. I understand all that, but still, there's just so many things that I saw last night that I found unrecognizable from the Clásico that we were all so excited. You know, that's the marker. That's the height of the season under Xavi, was the Clásico. I think a couple of things need to happen this upcoming season. I need to see more dynamic movement from this midfield. I need to see pass and go. I don't want to see pass and stop. that is what's happening with this midfield. There's so much static movement that it drives me crazy. And you're not going to get anything without just standing around. We're not good enough. The other thing, too, is our crossing and 1v1 ability is atrocious. We have nobody to really take anybody on off a dribble. And that is lacking. We never have that potential. You know, like Dembele is probably the only one that has it, but he's so loose with the ball that a lot of defenders just know that, okay, maybe he'll beat me one out of four times, but the other three times I'm going to steal the ball from him. And poor Adama, if that's his last game for Barca to give that awful, basically gave the ball to Villarreal to score, that's one way to go out, because as soon as he made that play, he got subbed out. And again, I want to see Ferran on the right side with Ansu on the left and Aubameyang up the middle. Obviously, if we don't make any more changes, I think that is the attacking trio we need to go with. But man, we need to get left back, right back. You know, unfortunately, Dani Alves, if that was his last match at the Camp Nou, at least I was there to see it, but he needs to go. I mean, unfortunately, he helped us in a stopgap situation, which is great, and I applaud him for that, but we cannot have him starting again next season. Like, that just can't happen. He's just too old, and we need a better defending right back. That's just what we need. Anyway, I was just very frustrated because I was looking forward to the match. I think I would have had better ganas for the match if it was at 6:30, but with the whole fiasco at 10 o'clock, and then obviously with the Santos issue, it kind of put a damper even further with the performance on the match. So let me just finish with this. La Liga, please, please, please get your effing shit together. With this scheduling and this logistical nightmare that happened to me last night after the match, I was so pissed. So can you imagine? They changed the time to 10 o'clock. I go to the match. I have this Santos fiasco. I see this terrible performance by Barcelona. Then I go to the bar to go meet up with Kim and his friend to have a drink. We're enjoying it. We're talking about the match, and we're just hee-hawing it up, you know? And I'm like, all right, I need to head back because I'm on the other side of the city. Okay, great. I left Kim at the bar at 12:30 at night. I didn't get home till 2 a.m. And we're talking a distance of 7 kilometers away, which is nothing by car.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This idea of changing times drives me up the effing wall. Because of this, the Metro closed at 12 last night, or 12:30. I don't know if it was 12 or 12:30. Regardless, it's very early. That doesn't happen here in Madrid. Hundreds of fans were stranded last night trying to get a cab back to the city. I have never, ever seen anything like it. 12:30 at night, hundreds of fans were lined on the street trying to get taxis. Everyone was asking for a Cabify or a MyFree and nothing. I had to wait 30 to 40 minutes for my cab to come. This idea of this flexible timing schedule needs to be a thing of the past. I'm so over it, especially after this weekend. Follow what the Premier League does. Just set it in stone. Obviously, if there's a Champions League conflict, you move it to Saturday, but that's an easy switch and that's an understandable switch. But for people who are coming from outside Spain to come see Barcelona or to come see whatever team and to not have a time is effing ridiculous. That is one of the reasons why I took today off, because I knew before that the match could be on Saturday or Sunday, right? And I did not want to take a chance that it was going to be Sunday late night and not have a chance to get back to Madrid. So La Liga, you need to do something about this because you are missing out on a better fan experience. And more importantly, the logistics of what goes on in a city at 12:30 at night on a Sunday. You know, it's one thing if it's 12:30 on a Saturday, right? There's just more life going on in Barcelona at 12:30 on a Saturday. But on a Sunday, it's completely different. So unfortunately, yesterday's match really, really, really left a bad taste in my mouth, especially with just all these things that lined up. Obviously, I had a great time with Kim and his friend. That's besides the point with that. It was just about the match, Mr. Santos trying to get home, all of this. But I will be back next year. I will be back. I will just try to go to a day game so that I don't have to have this issue again. Anyway, thank you for hearing me rant. We're going to have an episode on Wednesday. Going to be speaking to a friend of mine about the upcoming Champions League final. We'll get the Liverpool perspective, get his in-depth information on Liverpool. It's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to talking to Mo on Wednesday from the Anfield Wrap. So, everyone, hope everyone had a good weekend. Have a good Monday. We will talk to you on Wednesday. Forza Barça.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.